So the topic for tonight is whatever. Let me rewind here my notes. Okay. Whatever happened to right or wrong? Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine that you and I, we are just in front of this amazing waterfall. Beautiful. Many feet up the cliff, and you see the water and this beautiful pool of water. And as we approach this waterfall, you are just amazed. And you grab my arm and see, "Pastor, look, look, Pastor." And we look attentively and we see that the water, instead of falling down, it's moving up the cliff. And I say to you, "Oh, you didn't hear that? The laws of nature have just been done with. So now the waters can run each way they want. They can go down or they can go up the cliff. It all depends how it wants, how the water wants, right?" And then when you arrive home and you open a door and you see your husband or your wife just eating some rat poison, and you scream, "Wait, stop! Don't do that!" And he looks at you and he said, "What? Don't eat that." And he says, "Didn't you hear that? The health laws have been done with. So there is no problem anymore if you eat any kind of poison because those laws have been abolished. So you can eat whatever you want." What would you say? That's strange, right? Let me tell you, I am sure that until I checked last time, the law of nature is still valid. Waterfalls is still falling down. And by the way, this was just an illustration. The health laws is still valid. So if you die something deadly or poisonous, it will eventually could hurt you really bad. It could be fatal. So please respect those laws, okay? But what amazes me and probably can amaze you is that many Christians today, when you talk to them, they come to you and say, "Hey, wait a minute. God's laws have been abolished. It have been done away with. Christ died on the cross, and Christ abolished all the laws. So you don't need to be concerned on keeping the laws." Well, if the laws of nature that is still valid today, because can you just imagine if just the laws of nature would be abolished, what would be of us? If the earth just decided to get a little farther from the sun, what would happen? But let's say that the earth would like to get a little bit closer. Let's say just 12 inches closer to the sun. What would happen? Global warming. We would be burned. Well, we must have these laws. Otherwise, we would not be here tonight. And if the earth would decide just to stop turning, one day it would turn faster, or just the earth stop. Let's say, I'm tired. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to just stop here. What would happen? Yes, we would fly away in space, or we would crash against the walls and everybody would be in trouble. Have you noticed when you're in a bus or in a metro and it suddenly breaks? Do you feel that your body tends to continue? That reminds me in Brazil, right, Gianni? When you take, well, buses or trains, that you have people all around you. You didn't have to hold anywhere because you couldn't. And be careful if you remove your foot from the floor. If you do that, you're going to have to travel like this because someone would take the space. And you... A terrible situation. But when the train suddenly had to stop, everybody would squeeze at the last one over there in the front. That was trouble because of loss of nature. And it's so sad that today, most Christians mistakenly say that the laws of God have been done away with. They have been abolished. And tonight, we're going to study about it. What would happen if indeed God's laws were abolished? What would happen? Can you just imagine? Let's think about this idea for a moment. And actually, the enemy of God who rebelled against God because his law is the expression of his character. His laws is the foundation of his government. So Satan said, I don't want to just follow some laws that someone has put me to follow. I can make my own laws or I can be free. I don't want it like that. Well, I remember myself as a teenager. As I was growing up and we arrived at that age that we don't like to follow rules. And mom and dad rules is... Come on, I'm old enough. Why do I have to follow all these rules? And I do not understand. I remember one night, my brother, because we have a rule, everybody had to be at home 8, 9 o'clock the most. At 10 o'clock, my father would turn off the light, everybody would be sleeping by 10 o'clock. And one day, my brother, he was a teenager, and he said, well, I'm grown up already. Dad, I'm going to take my girlfriend home. And I'll be back later tonight. Are you sure? Remember the rule? Well, Dad, it's my girlfriend. I need to take her home. Be careful. And my father allowed that to happen. And my brother took her girlfriend home. It took later, and the lights was off. We were sleeping, and all of a sudden we hear around 10 o'clock in our window, our bedroom window. That was my brother. We went and opened the door, and he was pale. He was pale. And what happened? And all of a sudden we look at him. His clothes were torn apart, and we look at his feet. He didn't have his shoes. And what happened? And he was kind of in shock. I was robbed. They took my shoes. They bit me. And finally, I was able to run. And, okay, let's go home. And he went to my mother's bedroom and he knocked on the door. And he had to give the report of what happened. Yes, commandments, rules are good for something. We're made for something. Because God loves you and me so much that he wants to protect us. Mom and dad love you so much that he wants to protect you. She wants to make sure that you are safe. So, but the world doesn't want to hear that. Today we live in a time that, well, what is right for you, maybe not right for me. I like it. I love that. Sounds good to me. So I will do it. I will do it. Right? And because of this attitude toward the abolishment of God's law, can you see any connection? Or is there any connection about this idea that God's laws have been abolished? And God's law is the one who says, thou shalt not murder. That we see the TV on and all the movies, all the games, and it's all about violence. It shows, you know, hatred. It shows aggression. And then we change the channel, and we see the news that a kid stole a gun from his father and went into the school and shoot the teachers and the students, his classmates. Is there any connection to that? Do you think there is any connection now that the law of God says thou shalt not commit adultery, but people say, well, the law was abolished. Jesus crucified the law in the cross. We are under grace. We don't need to keep the law. Do you see any connection that the law says thou shalt not commit adultery? And now people just ignore that. More and more teenagers are getting pregnant. More and more we hear of sexual transmitted disease that is taking the health of young and old, because adultery has become the norm. Come on, you don't do that? Everybody does that. But here's the consequences. Let's go to the Word of God tonight. Let's see what the wise king said in Proverbs 28, verse 26. And I want a volunteer to read aloud so everybody can hear. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Well, the first part of the verse that Mark just read says that? Whoa. He that trusts his own heart is a fool. You know, I think this is good. Who is God to tell me what I must done? By the way, I don't think God exists, so I'll do whatever I want. I feel this is right, I will do it. The Bible says that is foolishness. Foolishness. Because there is someone who loves you so much, and he's saying that it's not wise to follow your own heart, your own mind, your own understanding, because it is deceitful. It can take you to a path that will cause you a lot of pain. So let's go to the Word of God and see what is the all sort of problems today. Hosea, yeah. Chapter 8, verse 7. Let's go to Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. What does it say there? The first part of the verse says, for they sowed the wind, and they shall reap the ruin. That's the law of nature. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You can't change that. But human beings, they're sowing the wind. And they will reap the wind? A whirlwind. So whatever you sow, you're going to have to reap something multiplied in great measure of what you sowed. So this is what is happening today. That's why people that sow violence, they will have to reap mass killings, terrorism, and all sort of violence that we see around us. I was just mentioning to you, I think it was on Sunday, when you go now, everywhere you go, I don't know if I am the only one to feel that, but you go to a public place, you're kind of concerned what might happen to you. You never know. I just heard the news. I didn't have much time to listen further to that, but they were about to hear of a stabbing at the airport. I don't know where there is. That is. Oh, in Michigan. Can you just imagine that? In the airport, places that you should be safe. Wow. You never know. That's what is happening. That is the source of all problem. Whatever we sow, we will reap. So, let's find in the Word of God what is the standards for righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. Let's see what the Word of God tells us through David. Chapter 111, verses 7 and 8. Wow. So everything you buy today, by law, it needs to have what? Expiration date. Although sometimes whatever you buy and you get has to have an expiration date, and you look at that date and say, oh, it's gone. But the Word of God is saying that God's law and God's precept is forever. Forever. And they are sure. So the same law that was given at creation at Mount Sinai, it was the same law that guided Jesus' life. It is the same law that guided the Christians through history. It is the same law that guides us today, because they're sure and they never expire. That is the standard of righteousness. If you want to be a perfect person, if you want to be righteous, if you want to be a good person indeed, you must heed to the Word of God, to His precepts, to His laws. Let's continue in the book of Psalm. Now I want you to go to chapter 19, Psalm 19, and someone reads, please, verse 7. I see that both of your Bibles says the same thing, right? Amazing. But the law of God is what? Perfect. 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 If you want to have a normal life, if you want to find the truth, and the truth that can bring you hope for tomorrow, you find this truth today and will bring hope for you for the rest of your life, you can find it in the Word of God, in God's law. Let me share, and I was so impressed when I discovered that there are about 35 million laws to control human behavior. Can you just imagine? 35 million laws to control human behavior. If you ask me, I don't know all of them. But God gave us just 10. 10. God was amazingly wise that He didn't have to give us 35 million or even 1 million or 100,000 laws. He gave us 10. 10 perfect commandments that embark and all our lives. Isn't that amazing? That God just gave us 10 that would take all of our lives and guide us and to be just righteous as He's. And the Bible says that these precepts are eternal. It's the basis of His government. But then Satan said, no, you don't need to follow these laws. You can do your own. And you know the story. He was able to go around heaven and telling all the angels and say, hey, it's not fair that God has His laws and want us just to follow. Let's have our own minds. Let's make our own decisions. And we're wise. We are very intelligent that we are able to make our own lives and make our own laws and follow them. We don't need to follow God's laws. What happened? Rebellion against God, misery, suffering. It came down to this earth, and here we are today. That's the result. That's the result. And as time passes, we don't see the time that we can get out of this situation. It's getting worse and worse. Paul says something very important in Romans chapter 4, verse 15. And I would like to ask you to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Read aloud to us. A volunteer, please. Oh, can you read that again, please? Two things. The law brings God's anger. But where there is no law, there is no sin, there is no rebellion, there is no condemnation. So, if I take that idea that Jesus, dying on the cross, He crucified the law, and the law has been done away with, has been abolished, so I can say that today there is no law. If there is no law, there would be no sin. So guess what? We are wasting our time here. Let's get out of here and do whatever we want because there is no law. If indeed the law is abolished. Can you just imagine you turn the TV one morning and say that president has abolished the traffic laws. You can drive as fast as you want. You can stop if you want at red light. If not, you can go just ahead. That would bring chaos. Dangerous. That would hurt us. That would kill us. But what is sin? 1 John, open your Bible with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. What is actually sin? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Oh, wait a minute. Two things here. Whoever commits sin, commit what? Lawlessness. So, In other words, if I can say that I know that I have sinned because I have broken a law. If there is no law, there is no sin. But what Gianni just read to us, that sin is when we break the law. Sin is lawlessness. When I just ignore God's law, I am in sin. Lawlessness. I have even heard, and many friends have come to me and say, Eduardo, why do you keep the law? The law was for the people of Israel, for Jewish. They were the ones that God gave the laws at Mount Sinai. And they were given just for Israel, just for the Jewish people. Let's see what the Bible says in Genesis 26, verse 5, concerning someone. Because many people think that the law came at Mount Sinai, when God wrote with his own finger the Ten Commandments. They says, well, that's when God gave his people Israel his law. But if God gave only his law at Mount Sinai, just listen to what Genesis 26, 5 says. Whoa, Abraham kept God's laws, but Abraham existed prior to Mount Sinai. Abraham lived many years before God himself came down to Mount Sinai and wrote the Ten Commandments. What commandments is Moses talking about concerning Abraham? Where was the law? Because the stones were not written yet. What was the law? Huh? There were moral laws, yes. Those were moral laws. And I heard someone say here, well, what was the law? How could Abraham know the law if God had not yet written the law? He heard his voice. So, God is eternal, and so is his laws. He obeyed my voice. You know, before Mount Sinai, God's laws was written in the heart. But humanity, yes, that's when we hear in the Bible, the heart, it means the mind. Humanity, at the beginning, they had a very good mind. They could store so many things, much more than we do now. Now we need computers. Back then, they had their minds. They had all God's law in their own minds. It was written here. But it came to a point that sin was taking a toll in humanity. They were become weaker and weaker. They were sinful to the point that God had to write the law in tablets of stone with his own finger, just to make sure, not on the sand, but on tablets of stone, God wrote his commandments. So Abraham kept God's commandments even before it was given in Mount Sinai. And Jesus said something very important about his commandments. I think these are the most convincing statements of Jesus concerning his laws. Matthew 5. I want to volunteer to find Matthew 5, verse 17 and 18. And another person will read to us Luke 16, verse 17. Look, those are words of Jesus. Matthew 5, 17 and 18, we're going to read first. That was words of Jesus. And he said, Matthew 5, I want you to find in your Bible, Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. He said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. We Christians, we tend to say that Christ abolished the law. And he said, do not think that I came to abolish the law. And he continues, nothing from the law, not the little letter of the law will be abolished until everything is fulfilled, until God's plan of salvation, until God's plan to restore you and me. And I would say, if God's law is the expression of his character, and we have read in the Word of God that his law is eternal, it will never be abolished. Because the law didn't come just because we sinned. Because even before sin, there was God's law. It was there. So it is eternal. And Jesus said, do not think. Do not come to that conclusion that I have come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill. Look at these words. Luke 16, verse 17. Luke 17, 16, chapter 16, verse 17. Whoa, wait a minute. That was words of Jesus. And he says, hey, wait a minute. It will be easier for what? Heaven and earth to pass away. It would be easier for the universe to disappear. It would be easier for everything to be destroyed and vanish and than for my laws being abolished. Do not mistake. Do not commit that mistake. And Jesus, actually, he connected his law with love. One of the teachers of the law came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, teacher, which one of the law is more important? What is the great law of God? And Jesus looked at him and said, well, you have heard. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might, with all your soul. This is the first great commandment. And the second is just like this one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the law and the prophets. Jesus connected the law with love. Sometimes we see law as someone that is angry, someone just is trying to punish us, and they put a lot of regulation and rules. But Jesus is saying, my laws I have given you because I love you. Because I love you, and I want you to be happy. I want you to really enjoy life. I want you to really live a life of happiness. So now Jesus comes and say one more important thing. John 14. Let's go to John 14 and let's read verse 15. John, the Gospel of John 14, verse 15. Oh, very straight, very sharp, and very firm. Jesus is just saying, if you really love me as you say, show me. Show me. And how do we show him? Keeping his commandments. You see, God's law does not have the power to save me. I'm not saying here tonight, and please understand me, I'm not saying that you must keep God's law as a way of salvation. Do you know why? Because the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Would you go with me over there? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says how we are saved. That is very, very simple. Wow, Paul is saying here that you and I, we are saved by grace. It is a gift from God. God gives you salvation freely. He comes to you and he says, I want to give you this gift. Take it, it's yours. It's eternal life. It's salvation. And you look at him and you say, Lord, why are you giving me this? Why are you giving me such a great gift? What have I done? And he says, you haven't done anything. I want to give you because I love you. Lord, but what should I do in order to deserve this gift? Well, there's nothing you can do to deserve that. Nothing. I love you and I want to give you this gift. And you accept this gift of grace. I remember once I was driving and the policeman stopped me because I was driving over the speed limit, probably 15-20 miles above the speed limit. And I knew that I was breaking the law, and the police came and he asked for my ID, and I showed my pastor credential. And he said, it doesn't work. Show me your ID, your driver's license. So I gave him. And I knew that he was going to give me a ticket. So I had to ask him, you know, sir, you and I, You are the one who enforced the law, and I am a preacher, and I tell my parishioners, I tell them that they must respect the laws. We work together. We work for the same cause. We try to make people keep the law. So, be merciful to me. Yes, what about just a warning this time? And he came, and he forgave me, and just told me, okay, take your car and go. So I got my ID back. Since I am now under grace, right? I'm not anymore under the law because he forgave me. I broke the law. I was under the law, and under the law, I deserved the penalty, but he forgave me, so I jumped into grace. And now I'm not under the law anymore. I'm under grace. I start the car and I spin and I ran because I was late. There was no law. I'm under grace, right? Not anymore. Do you think that's the way it works? How do you think I drove after that? I could receive a ticket because I was way too slow, right? I remember this lady that came to me that a policeman stopped her and gave her a ticket because she was driving too slow. Yeah. But when I received grace from the police officer, I drove under the speed limit. I kept the law as a result of grace. As a result of grace. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, I gave you salvation. I gave you all my love, my life. Now, if you love me as a response to what you say you do, that you love me, keep my commandments. And let me tell you, his commandments is not hard to keep. It's not difficult. It's not impossible to keep. It's a delight when we really understand the purpose of God's law. Kids, when you really understand mom's and dad's rule, it's going to be a pleasure to keep it because you know that they are giving it because they love you. It's going to be a delight because they love you. They want to protect you. Yes. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're saved by grace. My friend, I would like to invite you tonight. But I would like to conclude with a story, and then Jean is going to play for us. But the story is a true story about this lady called Kim. Her husband won the lottery twice in the state of Ohio. They became millionaire. But there was a problem. She didn't love her husband. But she loved the money he had. So what do you think she did? She decided to hire a hitman and kill her husband. And she started contacting people to find someone that could finally kill her husband, and she would inherit all the money. And one day, her son overheard her conversation over the phone, and he couldn't believe his ears, but he ran and told his dad what mom was talking over the phone. So Kim's husband went straight to the police and said everything. So the police got someone to contact her as a hitman, and they could develop all this process, and this police officer played the role as a hitman, and he received the payment and everything. But then Kim had to go to jail for trying or to hire someone to kill her husband. But the story doesn't end there. She was supposed to live the rest of her life in jail, but her husband didn't give up on her. He went to visit her in jail. He prayed for her. He loved her so much, the point that he decided to bail her out. He used his money, the lottery money, to bail her out. When Kim saw the great love of her husband, she couldn't do anything else but love him in return. She was really repentant. She was really sorry. She cried. She kissed his feet. He asked for forgiveness, and her husband forgave her. And now they are together. They are together. You see how grace works? When you accept God's grace, you love him back. If God was able to love me so dearly after I had done all I have, that I have rebelled against him, and he accepts me back, the only thing I can do is to love him back. So my question tonight is, are you willing to express all your love to God and say, Lord, I love you. And as a response to this love, I will obey you. I will keep your command. I will follow you. I will be a citizen that one day will live with you in heaven. So Jean will play. And as she plays, I invite you to bring your heart before the throne of grace. Confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. And ask God to take control of your life so you may be able to obey and to love His commandments and to be on the side of the right, not on the side of the wrong. Jean.